I've always been concerned about how we deal with crime and the fact that we tend to believe that people have to be punished without understanding all the forces that come into play that create the environment and conditions in which they live. And that there are other ways of dealing with those kinds of behavioral problems or whatever you want to call them, that punishment doesn't work and that prisons don't work.
Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine. This is Marcia Lazarus sitting with passionate and staunch criminal justice advocate, Dr. Alice Payton Green. Alice, I thought we'd start with the organization that you started in 1985, Center for Law and Justice, still very much alive 40 years later and sadly still very needed. How would you describe the center's mission?
Okay, the center is basically concerned about two things. One is educating people in the community about the legal system and the political system, because they're very important parts of our society that affects people that I work with particularly, but it affects all of us. The other thing is advocacy. We advocate for social justice, and that could mean anything and everything, depending upon what's going on in the community, issues that come up out of nowhere sometimes. But social justice advocacy is our main focus.
I was reading in your book a little bit of your career journey, and you started as a teacher right after college. And you went from, it sounds like you went from the classroom to working as a social worker and then actually got your MSW, got a social work degree in order to do that. It sounds like for you, it was your caring and compassion for the young people or older people or adults that you worked with. You were motivated to assist them, to be of support. It was that caring that you had for them. I think about your work, you know, over the last 40 years, fighting for justice are two very different kind of ways, styles. What do you think motivates you more? The caring for the individuals or the desire to fight for justice?
I think they come together. certainly, I think I'm compassionate because of the environment in which I was raised. I understood the problems that my mother had to overcome to be a good mother. You have to find ways to feed your kids, you clothe them, and all of that. At various times, we had to depend upon welfare. I didn't see that as something negative. You know, it's that was how we survived. And so when I met people, particularly like in Albany, there was one family. I saw a mother who looked like my mother. And she was a grandmother, but she was caring for many, many, many people because she had, you know, six or seven grandchildren. She would take people in and who were either homeless or suffering. And at one point, right down on Pearl Street in this apartment, there were 19 people living in this actually one-bedroom apartment. It was unbelievable. But she was committed to helping because they were her children and they were people in the community that she knew. And so I got a lot from her, you know, about being compassionate. Not only from my family, but her family as well, because I understood what she was going through, because I knew what we had to go through when I grew up. So when I first started out teaching, I wanted to know more about the students, because it was in a low-income Black community. I wanted to know, you know, what were they faced with? And how are they dealing with it? What's their families like? And what kind of help do they need? So I made a point of visiting all of my students' homes. And after a while, of course, it sort of caught on in terms of one of the things you could do is be a social worker. And you could spend all your time doing that. So I did go back to school to get an MSW. And when I'm doing the work as a social worker, unfortunately, it brings you into contact with the criminal justice system, because most of your clients are going to have some kind of, tie-in with the system in different kinds of ways. So I wanted to know more about that system, because I felt the system had to change. I didn't think people were responsible for a lot of the things that happened to them. They're not necessarily responsible for poverty. There's an institutional racism that makes sure that you stay put where you are, and there was a medical system that didn't know how to deal with you, educational system, all of that. So you can work with the individual, but you also have to look at the system and what it does and how it delivers. What kinds of policies does it create that affect the people who are in poverty? So I don't think you can separate the two. That I think people have to be compassionate. When I hire somebody at the Center for Law and Justice, that's a lot of the thing we talk about, that that compassion that's needed to do the work. And but we still committed to social change and changing everything that we can deal with that we think impact the lives of the people we work with. And so that includes law enforcement and a lot of the policies that our legislators come up with. It's a struggle.
At one point in your career, you were appointed by Governor Mario Cuomo to the position of Deputy Commissioner of New York State Division of Probation and Correctional Alternatives. And 3 years after this appointment, you resigned in protest over the governor's increased building of prisons.
When I was given the position of Deputy Commissioner, I thought it would be an opportunity to maybe affect change in terms of how we actually deal with people. Rather than in prison, let's divert them. And so I did that for a while. But then when we started building all these prisons as a result of Rockefeller drug laws, and prisons were being filled up, I could look at the statistics every week, and so it going up and up and up and up. And I was really disappointed in that. I said, wow, I can't be a part of that. Looking at upstate New York, where most of those prisons were built, from in my hometown area, as a matter of fact, they built one of those prisons right across the street from my home in Witherby. And so I started looking at it closer and doing some research, and one day discovered that there were a whole lot more people in the census that were Black and from the Adirondacks. And I said, wow, I never see anybody. So what's going on here? And discovered that because of the census and people were counted where they were incarcerated, we found out that 70% of the people who lived in the Adirondacks who were Black were in those prisons. And so it's sort of like a slap in the face kind of thing. And I said, wow, this is crazy, because I know where these people are coming from. They're coming from New York City. They're coming from Albany. They're coming from, Rochester and Buffalo, from Black communities and brown communities after a while. So so I spent a lot of time working on those issues around mass incarceration. The positive thing was I learned a lot from people who were incarcerated. They taught me so much about how the system works. Prison, they call prison industrial complex, and how we have to maintain a certain level of incarceration. And that's what mass incarceration is all about. That's what the Rockefeller drug law was all about. So I learned a lot from them.
Do you see that spirit of truth-seeking activism, wanting to make change or make a difference? Do you see that spirit in either your children or your grandchildren?
Especially, I have a granddaughter that I see that very clearly. She's at Boston U right now. She learned very quickly. I remember taking her Halloween trick-or-treating. We were going to go to this one house, And she said, no, we can't accept candy from them. Because she identified that this person was part of a political party that she has been told had problems. So she says, no, we're not going there, you know. But she's incredible, very much into doing stuff with incarcerated people. Now she's decided she wants to be a lawyer and to help people. She's definitely committed. Yeah.
She's following after grandma's footsteps.
So I'm happy about that.
Marcia Lazarus talking with Dr. Alice Payden Green.